Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
Serving up a warm dish of the Triad's culinary fare, here's your weekly helping of food, news, and views. This is the man who ate the town.
Hey, folks, and welcome to episode 190 of the Man Who Ate the Town podcast. This is for the week of March 8th through the 14th, 2021. My name is Tim Beeman.
And I'm Leah Metz.
And we are opening the recipe box. Ray is taking care of a parishioner right now, so that's why he's not with us today. We are recording this episode of The Man Who Ate the Town in the Less Desirable Studio South, also known as my house. We are practicing social distancing and using Zoom, sponsored by Bull's Tavern. If you are listening to us on your favorite podcatchers like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or any others like that, we'd appreciate a like, follow, a rating, whatever you can do. It would help us tremendously. And if you're listening to us on the Triad Podcast Network, welcome and thank you. This episode of The Man Who Ate the Town is brought to you by Mojito Latin Soul Food, Cuban and Latin-inspired dishes from brilliant ceviche, empanadas, and street corn to Cubano sandwiches, steak sandwiches, mojito burger, shrimp and grits, vaca frita, ropa vieja. I had the quarter chicken last time I was there. It was very good. Beer, wine, classic Cuban cocktails like the traditional mojito, the Sebastian, or the Cuba Libre. Mojito Latin Soul Food has your Latino-inspired cravings ready for you. They do reservations, takeout, have a rather large outdoor patio, which if it starts getting warm, they will have people out there. They also do deliveries to surrounding businesses like Fiddlin' Fish, Broad Branch, and Wise Man. Check them out on their Facebook page and at mojitolatinsoulfood.com. And they also own the Slanted Shed. That's what was there. The Attuning Fork Provision Company, and they are the truck that's outside of Fiddlin' Fish. So if you patronize that place, then you're helping Mike and Michelle out as well. So, Mojito, Latin Soul Food. So to you, Leah, and to my wife, and to all the female listeners, and my sister, and my mother, and happy International Women's Day. Each year around the world, International Women's Day is celebrated on March 8th. Thousands of events occur, not just on this day, but throughout March, because it is Women's History Month, to mark the economic, political, and social achievements of women. And I have to say, I love women. So happy International Women's Day to all of you.
Well, me too.
Yay for all of us.
And we can, so I'll tell you an accomplishment I have.
Okay.
Recently, as of last night, I have 7 A's in my grad program.
Woohoo!
98% overall. Woohoo! Who knew? About passed out.
That's awesome. That's a lot of writing.
There you go. Woo, that is a lot of writing. Paying off.
Yeah, good. congratulations.
I feel accomplished.
Absolutely. Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
So the Butcher's Block, number two, the one here in Winston, the first one's in Lexington, is a go for today. They opened today. Now, they don't have everything in place yet, but their soft opening is today. They are located in the Link Apartments Innovation Quarter at 247 East 5th Street. They are a full-service butcher shop that has butcher items from beef, chicken, pork, seafood, the things you'd find at a butcher shop. And they can get exotic items such as meats like alligator, python, rattlesnake. If you want them, you can get them special order. I am probably going to check with them about lamb shoulder because that seems to be difficult to get around here for whatever reason. They were a little delayed, but have everything ready to go. They passed the Michelle Kirkley Inquisition this weekend. That's what I call the health department. Go ahead. And they're on their way. So go check them out. Again, 247 East 5th Street. And go check them out, as well as Dabin Espresso and Cycle Your City, I think, are there in those apartment lower retail parcels. So go check them out. Last night, Black Mountain Chocolate Bar had a private event for media and friends to celebrate their full ABC licensing and their craft cocktails. If you haven't been in the space, it's wide, it's clean, it's bright, and it's a great little place. Plus, they now have a bar. Aaron Doby, who is a friend of mine, we shared the stage together several times. Aaron Doby is the beverage service manager, and she used to be at Raylan Vineyards, I believe, and at the Catherine before this, so she knows what she's talking about. They are in the Bailey South Complex on Patterson, just down the street from the Butcher's Block that I was just talking about. The parking deck on the hill, we found out last night, is reserved for Bailey South patrons. And as far as I know, there is no charge to park there. Plus, the other things around there, if you go to Black Mountain, you go to Cugino Forno and Incendiary Brewery, Brewing and all those things. And, coming soon is 600 degrees. I say soon, coming is 600 degrees. I would say soon, but we don't know when it's coming. So it's one delay after another, but it'll be right when it gets there. So that's good. I had last night, Leah, the chocolate old fashioned. So an old fashioned generally is bourbon, a little bit of vermouth, some bitters, and simple syrup. And they made it last night with the bitters instead of the Angostura bitters, the ones that goes in everything. They used chocolate bitters. And then they topped it off with an orange, the peel of an orange. And all that stuff together was fantastic.
I don't know about the, I don't like chocolate being bitter, so I don't know about that.
No, it's not bitter. It's just bitters is like a tincture. It's a mixture type thing. So it doesn't always, it's not always bitter.
Bitter.
But that's the process that they create. Yeah.
But some orange and chocolate, I mean, that sounds good.
That is a fantastic combo. Because, we go get those bars of things like the Lent chocolate and all that stuff. And my two favorite are the orange and the chili with the chili powder inside. So it's sweet heat, and it's really good. It's not hot, but it's just enough to tingle a little, and it's really good. Yeah.
Sounds dangerous, really.
Yeah, yes. Yes. So that's the thing. Black Mountain Chocolate now fully open and ready to serve you beverages and to get you a sugar buzz. Get you alcoholic buzz and a sugar buzz all in the same time. Both Forsyth Seafood and Chin Chin Burger Bar are hiring right now. Chin Chin is for front of house. I believe. And Forsyth Seafood is hiring for fish butchers, frontline servers, and fry cooks. So if you know someone who is in the market for a job that is in Winston or adjacent to Winston that can get there and are in the food, interested at least in the food service business, then go check out both Chin Chin and Forsyth Seafood so you can have your job, because they're looking.
And so is Sweet Potatoes, they posted
okay
as well.
Yeah. Great. So I've learned to stop posting that on my page, because whenever I post it, then it shows that I'm hiring, and they keep sending me applications. I'm like, look, I'm not hiring. Send it to whoever it was you thought that you were sending this to. Right. Not me. So I don't even mention hiring anymore, because then it makes a hiring ad.
Yeah.
No. I can't pay me, much less anybody else. So, Carrabba's Italian Grill, located at 587 South Stratford Road, is no chain. It's a responsible family of restaurants. Carrabba's and their owner partners take the communities they serve very seriously. And for us, Daniel Butner being the proprietario, it's nothing short of spectacular. He is a fantastic human and does fantastic work. They have family bundles available there. If you get on their mailing list, you can see the specials that they're running every week. They have a loyalty program. So, you know, no reason not to check out Carrabba's. I was looking at Winston-Salem Eats, and someone was talking about Carrabba's today and said it was delivery and something was wrong, but it had nothing to do with Carrabba's. It was the delivery service. And I don't know if anybody knows this. Yes, they do use delivery service, but they also do direct in-house deliveries. And generally, your food is not going to be slightly cold or anything, because they get it to you correctly and not through the services. Then other people were chiming in with, you know, well, I like this Italian restaurant better, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I hate when people hijack someone's post to start opinionating themselves through it. Even though I agree with them on some extent, if I'm looking for Italian food, then I have others to go to. This is not an Italian restaurant. It's an Italian grill. It's focusing more on grilled food that happens to be in an Italian style and from an Italian family. And Daniel's even told me that. He says, look, we're not an Italian restaurant. We're an Italian grill. And that's what we focus on. So, okay. Well, I will make sure to let people know whenever they bring that crap up. So follow Carrabba's on social media and Carrabba's.com. Get on the mailing list and tell them that we sent you. Manuel to town and Leah.
Right.
Sad news from Buy Good Coffee. Someone in ownership, I believe, lost their mother this past week. And they're having a bit of a hard time with that loss, which is quite understandable. This weekend, they are going to close at noon on the 12th, which is Friday, and be closed 13th and 14th and open regular hours back on the 15th. To Buy Good Coffee, our condolences for your loss. Many happier thoughts and posi vibes from Leah and myself and Ray. Ray would probably offer some prayers. So, you know, reach out if you need us.
And may they just recognize even more so to take the time that they need.
Yeah.
To process through all of it. I mean, a couple days, probably need more than that.
Yeah, and that's still 5 working days or 4.5 working days in between. So I wouldn't fault them if they closed for the whole week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
hopefully they'll take care of themselves.
Yeah, because the healing process does involve self-care, and you gotta have your time to mourn and grieve. So, many condolences again from the man who went to town. All of us over here. I don't know if we mentioned the closing of Zoe's Kitchen on Stratford Road a few weeks back. Generally, I haven't talked about chains. I mean, other than Carrabba's, but that's not necessarily a chain. But I don't talk about chains much on this podcast or on the blog because I like to support my locals. But after a lot of thought on this, I've decided that my quote-unquote locals also include the people who own franchises, work, and even eat at the chain locations, because I can't assume that everybody's just going and every time going to a Willow's or a BLL or something like that. Some people are going to an Applebee's, and so it doesn't mean they don't like to eat out. You know, maybe it's just situational or something they're doing or close to what they're doing. And I think it's remiss for me to leave out the chains. So while I won't give as much time as I do to the smaller, locally owned mom-and-pop food and beverage locations, if I'm not giving information for all food and beverage in town, I'm not really the man who ate the town. Doesn't mean I have to go there to eat, but if something's coming through, I need to talk about it. With that being said, I did some research, and I noticed the other day a new place called Cava, C-A-V-A, is coming to the location where Zoe's Kitchen was on Stratford. Cava is a small chain based out of Maryland with about 80 locations across the country. They focus on Mediterranean food. It was started by three guys, all Greek, I think, and said they taught, well, Italian probably, but they're not doing the Italian thing as much as the Mediterranean thing. They said they talked to their nonas and uncles and friends and all that, and decided they wanted to do something. So they are focusing on Mediterranean food, and they believe that you shouldn't sacrifice healthy for satisfied or substance over flavor. In 2018, Cava teamed up with Zoe's Kitchen and have expanded its footprint. So essentially, Zoe's Kitchen isn't officially gone from that location. It's just their corporate partner taking over the space. So I don't know if Zoe's Kitchen is disappearing and being absorbed, or if they're just trying the other side of this in that space. I ate at Zoe's Kitchen once, and it was actually pretty good, but I knew it was a chain, and it just wasn't what I was about. Plus, I'm not on that side of town a lot. That's not true. I eat at BLL a lot, but if I'm on that side of town, I'm either going to BLL or Carrabba's, and that's just because that's what I do. So I thought it was good, but it wasn't like memorable that I decided, oh, I got to go back for that. So I would be interested if anybody goes to Cava once they open, I believe.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say we went one time.
To Zoe's Kitchen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was fun. I mean, but there again, we're all about the local.
Yeah.
And we're all about a good beer list, too. And I don't think they had any beer.
Yeah, no, I think.
We were like, thanks, but yeah, bye.
If they did, it was just in like one of those little ice coolers in the front right. of the thing. And I'm like, no, you don't usually get good beer in that.
But no.
Yeah. So if any of the listeners go to Cava, I believe they're about a week away from opening. If you go to Cava, drop me a note, an email or whatever, and tell me what you thought. Send me some pictures. I rely on my street folk to help me. My street team. King's Market Downtown finally made a post on Facebook. And they have announced that they are now serving breakfast They made not one, but three posts this week. So,
wow.
Yeah, all on the same day, which, you know, at least they posted something. Their bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit that I saw in the picture this morning looked pretty good. If we could just get them to post more, that would certainly help. I walked into the other day, I had to get a bottle of water from Washington Perkin Provision Company, our sponsor, which is located at 301 West 4th Street. You'll find a little bit of everything over at the Perk Chip Corner, deli to get your sandwich on the go. Local fruits, veggies, meats, and dairy from the local sources, Bingo Bango Sodas, Wolfie's Custard, a wall of beer and wine, and more. Washington Perk is better than a convenience store, not quite a grocery store. On Facebook, Washington Perk, or at Washington Perk underscore DTWS on Instagram. And, you know, there was two schools of thought on that when I walked in. It was like, huh, nothing's changed. But do you need it to change? You know, I don't think you do. I think, you know, some familiarity, people go in, they know what they're looking for. I did notice that the custard display was not open, but they said that you could get it in, like, to-go things. So,
like, already made.
Yeah, it's pre-packaged. It's, and, you know, and Wolfie's Custard, they own Wolfie's Custard, so they can do it however they need to. And, you know, if you can get it to go, and I mean, not that you can't take any of it to go, but you can get this to go and be done with it. I did like that it was set up that you could actually have samples, though, and I don't think they want you sampling the prepackaged stuff.
No. Wouldn't be prudent.
No, it would not be prudent. Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent.
I noticed on this morning when I was checking my side of the list, Butcher and Bull said something about being a week out. So I contacted my person at Capture, which is their PR company, their marketing agency, and they hadn't heard anything. So they were checking and going to get back with me. But I know Butcher and Bull's getting a little more active on social media, so that probably means they're close. And, good. Can't wait for them to get back. I don't know how many people, if any of them, are still over there that was there before. I don't know if it's Chef Richard Miller. I don't know if any of the managers or any of the management or the bartenders or anything's the same. I just know that they are preparing to open back up. So it was at this time, or actually early next week, that a year ago that they shut everything down. Everybody shut down. And you'll hear more about that when we get to the history and holidays and stuff. There's a lot of stuff starting in 2020 that we'll go over. I don't like to talk a whole lot about the pandemic because I like to think that we're on the upswing from that. I get my vaccination, at least dose one. I don't know which shot I'm getting. It may be the Johnson & Johnson, but I get that next Sunday. My wife got hers today, the first of the Moderna. So she goes back in 3 weeks, or April the 5th, I think she said. So a month. And, but things are starting to be on the upswing. So, you know, we're getting to that point where we're going to look at a lot of stuff. It's already been a year since this happened. So we can also look at it, Leah, that next week will be the 1 year anniversary of us starting that list.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. It was the 17th. It was a Tuesday. I think we both like started fooling around with them on the 16th, the Monday. And then we started talking on Tuesday and said, let's just combine them. Let's work together. And we've been doing that now. And I'll be honest, total transparency. When this first started, we were checking 7 days a week. Then we backed down to leaving the weekends open for us because that is a lot to check. And then we got down to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And now we are down to Mondays. But it's not like that we don't, because I still troll the, I don't know if trolling is the right word, I still peruse through the Winston-Salem Eats page, and I do kind of look through my list. I don't go check the whole thing, but I do just check through to see, especially the ones that I know that they're trying to announce something. Mm-hmm. So I try to keep tabs on them and other people. And Steven, Street Team Steven, is really good for tagging me on things to bring me aware of them. So, but we have, because I know you're off next weekend from the show, so I wanted to go ahead and mention it this week that we will be coming up on our year anniversary on that.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy to think that it's been a year.
I know. It seemed like it flew by. But at the same time, it feels like we've been doing this forever.
It's both.
Yeah.
Both indeed.
It's a good thing, though. And I did go through and I noticed several things that I hadn't changed. So I removed them off. And I believe on my Manitowoc to Town blog post, I wrote for the flower box because they are temporarily closed until they can find a new location. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that Twin City Hive that moved to Gibsonville has already closed up shop there. Mm-hmm. So I did mention that. I don't know if I said anything about it on our list, but we have moved on to where it's the hidden part. So the official list doesn't have this, but that's why I wrote a blog post about it. And I believe Michael Hastings actually used our list for this, to see who we've lost over the last year.
Yeah.
Some of it was pandemic related and some of it wasn't, but, I'm sure the pandemic didn't help any of it. So whether that was the reason exactly why they closed or not, it certainly didn't help them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Street Team Steven and I are ironing out the last remaining minutia of the Burger Tour 2021. I think I'll be ready to announce the details next Monday. I will tell you this, it won't be the summer of burgers. It will carry on through the year. I figure I will announce my top 10 or even top 15 or 20, according to how I feel about that. Let's say sometime in December at the end of the year. So that's all I really, and I haven't even discussed that part with Steven. And it's not like he's going to be with me the entire time, but he is my brother and my partner in this. So, I'm going to try to get Leah on it with me a couple of stops. And if I can get Ray down the mountain, have him go with me a little bit. I know my friend Jeff Davids would like to go because he was with me a couple of times. And I will be seeking sponsorships for these. And I don't mean from the burger restaurants themselves. No one's getting any special treatment because they may give me my burger. That is on them to give it to me if they want to. It's certainly not requirement, and it does not weigh at all on the rating of it. And there will be actual, which I'll talk about next week, there will be criteria that they have to meet. There's going to be all kinds of weighing options. So it's going to be or weighting options about whether it's the preparation, the fixings, the freshness, the appearance, the taste, all that stuff will be put in there. The first one that I did was, while I did have some of those criteria in there, it was more on emotion. this one will still be weighted heavily on emotion because really, as I've always said, I don't eat for sustenance, I eat for sport. And burgers are one of my absolute favorite things to eat. So, yeah, it will still be heavy on the emotion part. So I'll discuss more about that next week. You'll have to listen to see what I say, Leah.
I know. I need some training on how to evaluate.
Yeah.
Even though I'm in program evaluation right now, I guess I should have focused my program on hamburgers.
Well, yeah. Maybe you can help me with my focus evaluation.
If we have process and outcome evaluation criteria, that would be great.
Okay. We'll talk. This burger, I must say, took this and that and that and that. I can get as technical as we want to.
My satisfactory level.
Yes. So, more details next week. Again, I'm going to talk with Steven some this week and get it all worked out, and I'll have an announcement next week. Speaking of burgers, I tried a new one this week. It will be on the tour, and this was not a burger tour visit. This was me wanting a damn burger. And since I was in Clemens at my accountant's office anyway, I went to Joe's Takeout. Now, they are just getting cranked up over there. Their social media is in dire need of help. Their menu is large and it looks good. They have a specialty burger called the OKC or Oklahoma style, which I believe, and Stephen will correct me if I'm wrong, has the onions actually smashed into the burger. Stephen knows more about that, so I saved that one for the tour. It's not the one I had when I went. They have a Tennessee style, which I believe is pre-smashed and then deep fried in beef grease. So I didn't have that one either. I had their smashed Joe's burger. That was a regular smash burger. Now, I got a double, and as I told Stephen in the text after I ate there, I have decided that I am going to stop getting doubles. Not for health reasons, but not because of health reasons. I think the overall experience with a double is diluted. That's not always the case, but for this one it was. Let me start by saying that the burger was good. It was prepared fantastically. The fixings were all fresh, but there's so much meat that the burger takes over the whole sandwich. Now, I love meat, I love beef, burgers, all that stuff, but for me, it's becoming more of an experience than just eating a burger. I want to see how the burger is put together, how it comes together as a piece of edible art, but I want the flavors to come together too. I want the whole burger to be a package, a cohesive unit. The second patty to me just overpowers the tomatoes, the onions, the pickles, whatever it was I had on there. Plus, it makes it harder to hold on to. Because it's going all over the place. It also leads me to eating faster because it's just a mess. And I don't want to put it down and have to re-dirty myself to get it up there, you know.
Yeah.
So I want a burger, not a mess. And that Joe's wasn't exactly a mess. And this was not their fault. So this not a knock on them. That's on me. This burger was really good, and they were really nice. I'll definitely go back, and not just for the burger tour. I will go back for me because I really liked it. They are in the Harris Teeter Shopping Center in Tanglewood Commons, across the street from Tanglewood Park, almost in Bermuda Run Advance area. It's on the corner of Harper Road and US 158. So I do recommend Joe's Takeout for a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Will it make the top 10? Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll find out in December.
And maybe only one patty that might its ranking.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, so I think what I'll have to do whenever I do these, again, we'll have criteria that we wait on, but we'll also to weigh in on how it ranks. But there also need to be some kind of standard that we go by because I don't want to go and say, hey, you know, they have this specialty burger. I might say that they have this specialty burger, especially if I try the specialty burger, but I need to, like it was for the last time, I need them all to be at least on the same playing field.
Right.
If I go to like Chin Chin, that can't compare to just, you know, the Munch Box down in Marketplace Mall.
Mm-hmm.
That's two totally different burgers and two different burger styles.
So do you, at what point do you start having different burger categories?
I don't know, and that's one of the things that I'm working out here in my head, because and last year I started off thinking I was going to separate the diner burger versus the gourmet burger. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that that's not what happened. Because really, a burger is a burger is a burger is a burger.
Maybe.
It may be. And that's what my thought was last year. This year, I've got to really pay attention to how they are prepared and what style of just what style of burger they are. I mean, if it's a smash burger versus just a regular diner burger on a grill that's not smashed, that's preformed. If it's a gourmet burger that's, you know, loaded with all kinds of stuff on it, that's fine. But it needs to be, I think they need to be rated on their own merits. And that's where I struggle. I don't know if it looked the merits themselves stand out. If it's a good burger, it's a good burger.
Mm-hmm.
But is it fair to put a Chin Chin gourmet burger or a Hops burger versus a gas station burger if they have it? Because there are some places that people say, you got to try this gas station burger. It's really good. That's the struggle, I think. And I know Steven listens to this show, and he's going to listen to this and go, well, let's address that. So,
well, when I'm doing my literature review for my paper, I'll type in burger and see if there's some research articles that I can forward to you about burgers.
I appreciate
Surely somebody's gone down this road before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We can get real technical. Then you can pull it back.
Yeah, and use it for myself. So last thing I have to talk about this week of the news section is Stephanie and I ate at the last, at least the this go-round, of the Roar pop-ups at Sir Winston. This one is called Est Est Est, which is in Italian means, I think, east. And that's not what this is. There's nothing Eastern about this, and it makes no sense. In French, est, or it translates to is.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what the name is, it could be it's the best. It could be the creamiest, the loveliest, the all this other stuff, est. That's what it could be. I don't know. I don't know where the name comes from. But what this pop-up was about was an authentic Italian feast, which means an appetizer course, a salad course, an entree course, and a dessert course. The price was $35 a person, and I know that people, what? Yes, but you got one of each of those things. It was totally worth it, and actually a lot cheaper than I thought it was going to be. So because we were doing a tasting, Stephanie and I, we decided to share two of each course. And really, the only one that had more than two choices was the appetizer. You can get a soup. And I think sharing a soup was not feasible for us. So what we did do, we started with appetizer course. We started with calamari. Now, calamari can be greasy. It can be chewy. The breading can fall off of the squid and you're left with a slightly flavored rubber band. This is the exact opposite of what we got. We actually had perfectly fried, golden, firm, not rubbery, but chewy enough calamari. The flavors and the seasoning were mostly S&P, then salt and pepper for lay people, and subtle, but enough that you could taste it. We are fans of the tentacly parts over the rings, and there were plenty of those to choose from, so that was fantastic. The marinara dipping sauce was acidic. It was tomatoey. It had a hint of basil, and it was slightly sweet, so I think it was a perfect companion to the calamari, and that starter was fantastic all the way around. With that, we also got the shrimp scampi bruschetta, which is white wine, parmesan, garlic, cut tomatoes, fresh herbs, and perfectly cooked shrimp with a little balsamic drizzle. And I noticed as I was taking the picture that you could just smell how bright and fresh this was with the basil and the shrimp and the tomatoes, and the bread was freshly toasted. It was just, it was amazing. And the flavors all matched what I was smelling. Everything was bright. It was a wonderful combination of acidic, savory, umami, and earthy all in one. The shrimp was not chewy, had lovely grill marks all over it, and the bread was stiff and toasty, but not hard like some bruschetta can be. I don't like when my mouth gets sawed up by hard bread. I have a hard time with hard bread. So this was crispy, but not so much, not so hard it was just tearing my mouth up.
Not like a saw?
No, not like a saw.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to enjoy this. I don't want little cuts all over my
mouth. Yeah, so it was thinner bread, but it was done, like I said, toasted just right. It was crispy without being... either sometimes bruschetta can be a little flimsy or so much that's overcharred, and then that's when it tears my mouth up. But this was just right.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even helped my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
The salad course was next. The arugula salad came up. Arugula is crispy, slightly crunchy, peppery. The stuff that you want in arugula. And it had shaved Parmesan, cherry tomato quarters, and a somewhat thick citrusy lemon dressing. And all the things that you want in a salad, really, I think, at least what I wanted, was right there. It's a salad. So how fantastic can that get, on especially when it's just one course of a thing? If you're getting like a Cobb salad or something like that, where it's the highlight, then that's different. But this was unassuming, and it was exactly what we wanted it to be. It was fantastic. We shared that and the caprese salad. Now, it's hard to mess up a caprese salad, right? Mm-hmm. Tomatoes, fresh mozzarella, basil, and a balsamic drizzle. They didn't mess it up. The flavors are great. My only knock on it would have been a little more of the basil strips, because they had taken basil and rolled it up and sliced it so you got strips, right? Mm-hmm. And I could have done with some more basil in there, but that was the only thing that was wrong with that. Otherwise, it was perfect. So the main course was next, and that was the quote unquote show. Both the maitre d' and the chef for this, Nuno and Simone, are from Italy, so they knew what they were doing. They pushed a cart up to our table when it was time for the entree.
Oh.
And on this table was this large wheel of this tall large wheel of Parmesan cheese, and the middle had been hollowed out, and then they shaved some in there, so it was like a bed of Parmesan flakes, right? So they took freshly made pasta right out of the cooker that they had on the side and put it in this wheel. So this hot spaghetti basically was mixing with those cheese flakes, and they just took forks and utensils and was mixing it all together and then put it on your plate. And with that, you get a choice of either a white Alfredo style sauce or a red tomato sauce. Of course, we got one of each, but also you got the choice of shrimp, grilled shrimp, chicken, or meatballs. Now, one of us should have gotten probably the shrimp and or chicken, but we both got meatballs. And these meatballs were about the size of my fist. And a lot of times when they're that big, it's either undercooked on the inside or overcooked on the outside to make up for that. This was perfect all the way through. It held together. It was not falling apart. I know I keep saying the word perfect, but it really was everything we wanted out of it. It was so much of it, though. We brought the pasta, not all of it, but about half the pasta and one of the meatballs home. And I had that for lunch yesterday. And it was still delicious 2 days after reheated. So it was still great. And then finally, the dessert course. They were out of the tiramisu that they had advertised, but we were given a cheesecake instead. It was cheesecake. Creamy, delicious, served with berries. And, you know, they didn't mean for it to be spectacular because it was a substitute. So I can't say that it was anything more than just the way you want it. I mean, it takes a superb cheesecake to make me go, because I'm not a dessert person, right? When I say dessert, I like sweet things, but I don't like them as a dessert. Once I've had a full meal, I don't need stuff at the end of it. I like sweet things on their own. But so that was there. But also on the menu was cannoli, and they gave out two of them. And again, I'm not much of a dessert person, but this was really good. It was creamy and crunchy and cinnamony and all the things you want to be, and also served with berries. All in all, I would say this was the best meal that we've actually had in a few months anywhere, and we eat at a lot of great places. So if you hear this and you own a restaurant that you know we've eaten at in the last little bit, don't take that as a knock on your place, because it certainly isn't. We eat at a lot of really, really good places. But this one, just, I think, if you take into account the show and maybe the Italian red wine that we were drinking with it, it was just the best meal experience that we've had in the last few months. I cannot wait until this restaurant opens in Roar. I don't know where they stand right now. I'd like to say before summer. It could be even be around spring. But I highly suggest when it opens that you, if you like Italian food at all, no matter where your favorite Italian is, you know, I've always said my favorite Italian restaurant here in town is Delicio's, and it still is my favorite Italian restaurant in town. I also am huge on the BLL Rotisserie Factory. While not officially an Italian restaurant, it is owned by Italians that do a lot of Italian food, and that is my second go-to for Italian food. But if you like Italian food, you would be doing yourself a disservice if you skipped out on the SSS experience. They will have much more than just those courses on there. They will have full menus, and the chef is from Roma, and Nuno, the maitre d' at Sir Winston, is from, I believe he's from Florence, somewhere in northern Italy. So they're not, and I told Nuno, I said, the last thing I want to see is Americanized crap. I said, I know it's hard to just go full Italian because you have to appease the idiots that walk in there. So the people who, that's not what Italian is to me. I mean, Olive Garden, that's not Italian. I will tell you, Olive Garden is Italian style. It's not Italian food. Mm-hmm. It's chain crap that's high in sodium, and stay away from it. But they're going, I think the idea is they will try their best to keep it as authentically Italian without having to dip into the American sensibilities to make people happy. So let's hope that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like y'all had a good time and good food.
We absolutely did. I don't have a guest for this week, but do you have anything on your end of the list that you need to talk about? Anything happening?
No, I did see a post from Smitty's notes about the butcher block for Mr. Barbecue was being put in on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, according to Jeff, that it's going to open on March 15th.
Okay.
So the end of the week.
Next Monday.
Next Monday? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so yay, that'll be cool. And then we tried to eat at Miss Johnny May's food truck, which they're the ones that have that 13 cheese mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I made Mel stop because I saw the food truck. I was like, we gotta go there. Dang, if they weren't sold out of pretty much everything but wings, I was like, holy smokes. So if you see that food truck around, you gotta try that mac and cheese.
And what is it called again?
Miss Johnny May's. And they're at a High Point, but they're circling around.
I think they were last Wednesday. They were at Wise Man.
Yeah, that's where we saw them.
Okay.
So we stopped, and yeah, I was like, dang it. So if you see the truck, you need to let me know so I can go get some mac and cheese.
All right. There's a siding. There's a siding.
There's a siding. Get Liz mac and cheese, and then you can have some.
Okay.
That's just some good stuff. But yeah, sold out. I mean, on Wednesday night, that's pretty good. So they had been hopping. So waiting for them to come back into town.
Cool.
Some of their deliciousness.
Awesome.
That's about all I know on my end.
Okay. So I will reach out to a couple of the folk that are dealing with the Mr. Barbecue thing. See if I can get a definitive answer from them. That's not oh, by the way, I'd like to know beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, they hadn't posted on their page in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, a couple weeks, so. Yeah,
probably getting ready to ramp it up.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well, the food holidays are sponsored by Diamondback Grill. Diamondback Grill is casual dining located in the heart of Buena Vista in Winston-Salem and a fantastic family-owned farm-to-fork restaurant that sources most of its ingredients from local farmers. Diamondback Grill offers craft cocktails, an extensive beer list and wine list, and an inviting atmosphere. Try one of their theme nights. And I know, talking about burgers, Saturday nights are burger night at Diamondback Grill. So gotta go try that one. They have different things. They have a burger that's made from mushrooms. They have mushrooms on a burger. They have all kinds of stuff, burger stuff. So check them out. They are at 751 Avalon Road. Check them out on diamondbackgrill.com and on their Facebook and Instagram pages. So today is the 8th of March, and it is, like I said, International Women's Day. So again, happy International Women's Day. It's also Peanut Cluster Day. And peanut anything makes me happy. So, yay. On the 8th in 1765, John Hannon, financed by James Baker, began producing one of the first North American-made chocolate products using water power. The beginnings of Baker's Chocolate happened on this day in 1765. On this day in 1817, the New York Stock Exchange was founded. On this date in 1923, the Coca-Cola 6-bottle carton was introduced. I don't know if that was for the big bottles or the small bottles.
Yeah.
In 1927, Norwich Pharmacol registered the Pepto-Bismol trademark, first used in 1919. Pepto-Bismol, if you don't know, provides relief of symptoms due to overindulgence in food and drink, such as the song says, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. So that's the things that it helps you with. On the 9th of March, it's National Crab Meat Day. I don't know if that means real crab meat or that pollock crab that they imitation crab meat. I don't know. But Crab Meat Day is tomorrow, the 9th. It's also, I didn't want to save it because I wanted to eat it, but from SSS, it's National Meatball Day on the 9th. So go to your favorite Italian restaurant or your Italian grill, like Carrabba's, to get meatballs tomorrow. On the 9th in 1959, the Barbie doll debuted at the American International Toy Fair in New York City. Barbara Millicent, I can't remember, Roberts, I think, is her full name, Barbie's name.
Realize you had a middle and a last name.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. In 1964 on the 9th, the first Ford Mustang rolls off the assembly line. I've never been a fan of the Ford Mustang. I don't care for many Ford products. But, it's a classic American muscle car. So tomorrow will be its, 57th anniversary. On the 9th in 1977, Canada bans saccharin as potentially carcinogenic. They should just ban it because it's nasty. But the American, the FDA and USDA have stopped putting the carcinogenic labels on there. They found that's not true. But I don't know if Canada has allowed saccharin back in or not. I can't see them not allowing it, but who knows. In 2009 on the 9th, in an effort to boost tourism, Utah agrees to open bars to the public, ending the state's private club system, which required patrons to fill out a separate application and pay a membership fee for each bar. That went into effect in July of that year. Also in 2009, France raised the minimum age to purchase alcohol, not drink, but purchase alcohol from 16 to 18 years of age.
There were probably some 15-year-olds who were very upset that day.
They were. You know, when the United States changed to 21, my good friend Eugene, who is the host of the Wheeler's Dog podcast, was 19. November that year. So he, for 2 months, he could drink or buy alcohol legally. January of that year, they
got cut off.
It raised to 21. And they should have, if they're going to do something like that, they should have had some kind of grandfather clause that if you could prove that you're born, if you were born in between there, that you could still do it and have a hard cutoff for 21 of the people who were not born before that law passed. But they didn't, and he was SOL. So on the 9th in 2020, Italy imposed a national quarantine on the entire country to stop the spread of the coronavirus. So that's the first one of those that I'm mentioning. On the 10th of March, it is Blueberry Popover Day. It is also Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day, and that means you need to reach out to my very good friend, Kristen Norton, who is my personal registered dietitian and nutritionist of Well-Balanced Nutrition, and wish her a happy day. It's also National Ranch Dressing Day and National Pack Your Lunch Day.
Oh.
On the 10th in 1804, a formal ceremony was held in St. Louis transferring ownership of the territory included in the Louisiana Purchase Treaty from April 30th, 1803, from France to the United States. That was a large tract of land for what, $1 million or whatever it was they sold it or bought it for?
Yeah.
Yeah. all the way? Did it go all the way to the West Coast or just through the Rocky Mountains up to Canada? Or even some of Canada, I believe.
Well, no, I don't remember my history. I want to say it didn't go all the way, but somebody will correct us.
Yeah, someone will tell us. Or we'll just look it up later.
Google it.
Yeah. Mr. Google, help me, Mr. Google. On the 10th in 1862, the first U.S. paper money, the national currency notes, was issued. Everything was coins before then. In 1870s, and it was all regional, so there was some paper then, but it was regional stuff. In 1876, on the 10th, Alexander Graham Bell's first successful experiment with the telephone happened. He spoke through the instrument to his assistant, Thomas A. Watson, in the next room. Bell writes in his journal, "I then shouted into M, the mouthpiece, the following sentence: Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you." To my delight, he came and declared that he had heard and understood what I said. If you could just see what the phone has become today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'd like to see the inside of the two rooms that they were in, just to see, like, you know, what did that look like? How thick were the walls?
Yeah.
And then why didn't he just talk back and be like, no, just tell me over the phone.
Yeah, tell me what you want. Because if I get in there and you tell me you want me to go get something when I could have already gotten it for you, I'm going to be mad, dude.
Right?
That's what I would have said. On the 10th in 1914 at the National Gallery in London, a suffragette / Diego Velázquez Rokeby Venus with a meat cleaver. I don't know why I didn't read that part, but something made her mad. If it was a suffragette, it was probably about rights of some sort. And
you know, something.
Something made her go in at this painting with... I also need to look up the Rokeby Venus to see what the deal is about that. Did it like look like meat or something? I don't know. In 1955, on the 10th, Aaron Bunny Lapin received a patent for pressurized containers designed to dispense his Ready Whip whipped cream topping, which he developed in 1948. So whippets were available. Bless you. Available at that point. On the 11th, the International School Meals Day, World Kidney Day, and Oatmeal Nut Waffle Day. One of those is not like the others.
I was going to say.
The only one that's halfway fun is the Oatmeal Nut Waffle Day.
Right.
But, okay.
Even know what that would look like. Does it have oatmeal and nuts in it, or it's just...
I guess in it.
Or on it?
I think it's probably in the batter. Probably in the batter when they put it on the iron. On the 11th in 1818, Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley's Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus, was first published. On the 11th in 1888, in the northeastern United States, the Great Blizzard of 1888 began. 3 days of snow, wind, and freezing weather. Up to 4 feet of snow fell, with drifts exceeding 20 feet, shutting down all communication and transportation.
Thanks.
On the 11th in 1918, the first U.S. cases of the deadly Spanish influenza were reported at the Army Hospital in Fort Riley, Kansas. The pandemic killed more than 600,000 Americans and almost 40 million people worldwide. Funny how things come back, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, San Francisco passed a law requiring chain restaurants with 20 or more locations in California to post nutrition information on their menus. Why 20 or more locations? Why not have every restaurant put the information on the menus. I mean, if you even go to Clementine's, it tells you calorie count. And I don't know. So what it did with San Francisco, they started doing it there, and now you'll find a lot of the chain, the big chains, will have that on all their menus, not just in San Francisco. In 2011, on the 11th, in Japan, a massive earthquake of magnitude 9.0 struck at 2:46 p.m. off the northeastern coast of the country. It was the most powerful earthquake in Japan's history. It triggered powerful tsunami waves up to 133 feet high.
Wow.
Which caused a major nuclear accident at a power plant. More than 15,000 people were killed, and at least 332,000 buildings were destroyed. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
On the 11th in 2020, the World Health Organization, WHO, declares the coronavirus outbreak a pandemic, which means it spread over several countries. On the 12th of March, it's Baked Scallops Day. In 1773, on the 12th, Jean-Baptiste Pointe de Sable founded a settlement where the city of Chicago now stands. On the 12th in 1912, Juliet Daisy Gordon Lowe founded the Girl Scouts in Savannah, Georgia. In 1930, in India, Mahatma Gandhi began a 240-mile, 24-day march to the coastal village of Dandi to produce salt without paying the salt tax in protest of the British salt monopoly. In 2020, coronavirus update, several states have closed all schools. New York City has declared a state of emergency. Disneyland is closed. Travel from Europe to the United States has been banned. On the 12th, I'm going to back up a little bit, in 1975, my best girl, Stephanie, my wife, my baby, my darling, was born. And so happy early birthday to her on this day for the 12th. That's Friday. For those of you who might know her and want to send her happy birthday message, that's it. That's the day. On the 13th, it's turn your clock ahead before going to bed night. That's when daylight saving time begins on the 14th, but the 13th is when you turn it back before you go to bed. If you turn it back, I mean, most people now have digital clocks or use the clocks on their computers or on their cell phones or whatever, and that happens automatically.
Now you're saying turn it back, but we spring forward.
Right. Yeah, we spring forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, turn it back? What?
Yeah.
I like having the extra hour of sunshine, but I do not like having to get up in the morning an hour earlier for that first week. Like, that makes me mad.
Yeah.
Like, I think we just declare that next week you just don't start anything until like 8. And I mean, you don't have to get up till 8. Things don't start until 9. And then we ease back. I mean, not that would be confusing or anything for people, but I mean.
Well, here's the thing. Stephanie and I talked about this yesterday. Why do we continue to do that? The reason that they started the time change was to conserve energy and, to conserve energy during the winter and to elongate the days for farmers and things during the summer, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need that anymore. Why can we not just leave it what it will become Sunday? I would much rather have daylight later in the day. I would much rather it be somewhat darker in the morning when you get up. It's not as intrusive when you are awakened by by the light in your face. I just wish that we could just stay with daylight saving time as daylight standard time, or Eastern Standard Time, whatever you want to call it. Just keep it this way. There's no reason to go switch it back in November. It's not good for mental health. It's not good for physical health. It's a money thing. If we get these restaurants back open, they could stand to be open with it still daylight a little later. I know I'm super hyper focused on the food aspect and what I want, but still, there's no reason to turn the clocks back. I mean, once we've lost it, right? Which to me, right. It's never been about losing. Not since I've been an adult, because I don't go to church on Sunday, so I don't have to get up any extra time. Mm-hmm. I just sleep however long I do, and then I'm reset for the next day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you get up and go to church on Sunday, yeah, you have to get up earlier this coming Sunday. Maybe that's a good reason not to go.
But, well, I'm just declaring that next week I'm keeping banker hours, so... Don't try and meet with me before 10.
Okay. All right. But on Fridays, are you open to 5:30?
Well, yeah.
6 o'clock?
Well, I mean, banker's hours at 2, I'm done. So okay.
Well.
5:30 somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. On the 13th in, it's also, I'm sorry. Coconut Tort Day and Ginger Ale Day. Oh. I love ginger ale. So, yes. On the 13th and 1781, the planet Uranus, or for us who like to giggle, Uranus, was discovered by Sir William Herschel. Thinking of that restaurant still, Sir Winston. In 1852, on the 13th, the first illustration of Uncle Sam was published in a political cartoon by satirist Frank Ballou in the New York Lantern. In 1884, Standard Time is established in the United States. In 1915, on the 13th, Wilbert Robinson, Uncle Robbie, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, attempted to catch a baseball dropped from an airplane. Well, someone had substituted a grapefruit instead, which virtually exploded in his glove upon impact, covering him with grapefruit pulp and juice, much to the amusement of his team. So I'm thinking if he had caught, especially in that age in 1915 when they had those really soft gloves, if they had dropped a baseball out of that, it would have broken his hand.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty...
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah. No matter how high the airplane was, I mean, if it was 500 feet or whatever, it's still going to gain a lot of velocity.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Crazy.
In 1925, on the 13th, the Butler Act is adopted, prohibiting the teaching of evolution in Tennessee schools. I don't know if that still happens, but that happened in 1925. In 1979, on the 13th, the European Monetary System, the EMS, officially came into effect to foster closer monetary cooperation, leading to a zone of monetary stability in Europe. That is now what we... called the euro, is not necessarily from that. That's a whole different thing, but this is where it started. In 2020, on the 13th, President Trump declares a national emergency to combat the coronavirus. Many restaurants are closing. others moving half of their tables to increase space between customers. Pizza and outdoor food delivery restaurants are offering contactless delivery where food is left at the door instead of having to hand it off. All that was good, but I think we've learned that you don't have to necessarily do the contactless thing. Just use hand sanitizer before and after. Wash your hands after. On the 14th, it's National Potato Chip Day. And it's good that you have that because you can also have it with you when it's National Reuben Sandwich Day. So have the potato chips with the Reuben. You live out there close to O'Brien's, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great Reuben sandwich at O'Brien's. Yeah. And the 14th is annually, March 14th, is Pi Day. Because pi is 314. Right? 3.14. So it is Pi Day. On the 14th in 1794, Eli Whitney of New Haven, Connecticut, patented the cotton gin, which separates cotton from the seeds. In 1927, Pan American Airways was founded to operate service between Key West, Florida and Havana, Cuba. In 1962, Union Carbide registered the GLAD trademark for plastic bags. In 2014, Quiznos filed for bankruptcy protection.
Hmm.
Are they still around?
I don't know. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
I hadn't either. They were never any good to me. I just didn't like it. On the 14th in 2020, coronavirus update, Spain announces nationwide lockdown. Residents will be permitted to leave their homes only for essential reasons such as medical appointments or to buy food. France announces closure of all non-essential businesses. All restaurants, cafes, and movie theaters will close. Middle Eastern countries are closing their doors to outsiders. Israel bans gatherings of more than 10 people. Restaurants, movie theaters, and other gathering places will close on the 14th in 2020. Big day, right before we finally closed everything. Mm-hmm. That is your food holidays and history for this week. Special thanks to James Eloff at foodreference.com for making us chuckle, roll our eyes, debate the need for daylight savings time versus daylight standard time, bring back interesting yet sad recollection of 2020 as a whole, and just other things. So thanks, James, for all that. The Man Who Waits to Town podcast is part of the Less Desirables Podcast Network. Along with this podcast, you can listen to the Less Desirables, the Beer Dads, Fan Interference, Beeswax, Vinyl, and more, Wheeler's Dog, and Asylum Tales from the Devereaux Diaries podcast. You can find all these podcasts and their latest episodes on our network website and directory, tldpodnetwork.com. You'll also find social media there as well. Again, if you're listening on Triad Podcast Network, thank you for that. And hopefully you'll come back. Subscribe to all the shows on, well, the shows on Triad Podcast Network. Adam, I'm sure, would appreciate that as well. This is a reminder to all of our listeners, and is good practice, not just now, but for always. Wash your damn hands. Wash with warm water and soap. Wash with that soap for about 20 seconds or more. If you need any indication on what 20 seconds is, just sing along with this song. After school, we can hang around by the pool. Hang by the pool. That's more than 20 seconds. business trip. Is she there? Or is she trying to give me the slip? Give me the slip. You know I'm not the little boy that I used to be. Baby, can't you see? Stacy's mom has Yeah, that's, you know, as annoying as people got at that song, I still think it's a great song. We lost the singer of that band, writer of that song last year of COVID. And a lot of people didn't know that he actually wrote a lot of TV music and for movies. So, yeah. So, rest in peace to him. Well, keep an eye on my blog and this podcast to find out more about food news and happenings around town. Special look at the list, because I have gone through and updated some stuff. I've added some stuff. So if you've not looked in a couple of weeks, you might want to. If you have any food news, send an email to Tim or Leah or Ray at themanwhoatethetown.com. You can also contact us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter instant messengers. Like us on Facebook. On Twitter, we are Manhoot8thetown. And on Instagram, we are Manhoot8thetown. And we want to invite you to call and leave a voicemail for the podcast or any podcast on the TLD network. Call 336-422-6862. That's right, 336-422.
Numb.
Right. Leave a voicemail and we'll play it on the podcast. You can text too if you want, but we would prefer you to leave a voicemail. Leah, it's good to see you this week. See you in two weeks. And congratulations again on your appointment. You're not appointment, but your accomplishments. Yes, your grades. Yes.
And all my other accomplishments.
Yes, yes, and all the other things that you're just so great at.
Thanks.
Well, appreciate. Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully Ray's parishioner is okay, and we'll have him back with us next week, I hope. And again, I'll talk more about the burger tour next week. So, my name's Tim.
And I'm Leah.
And we're closing the recipe box. Until next time, thank you for reading. Thank you for listening. Bon appetit. Yes. Yamas. The views and opinions stated by me or any of my guests are solely those of ours and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of our hosting companies, distributors, enemies, friends, or relatives. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced or distributed without express written consent of the man who ate the town, that's me, and such Limited Inc. However, if you ask nicely, we'll probably let you.